Please remain standing for the reading of today's scripture. The reading is from Matthew 6:19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Reverend Grace, where are you? There you are. We're so glad that you are with us today. Reverend Grace is with us from Kenya, as was mentioned, Leslie mentioned, for 9 months, and is a chaplain of our hospital there, Methodist Hospital, and has been in Memphis at the Methodist Hospital there, and it's a great joy to have Grace with us. We had another Grace with us last night at our Saturday night service from China, who was a missionary, and so Grace prevails again today, and we welcome you. We remember our students, 7th and 8th graders, again, as Leslie mentioned, 154, who I understand are having a wonderful time on retreat. And we remember them and miss them as they are away from us. Charlie, thank you for reading the lesson this morning. We're beginning a new series today, as Phil Jameson mentioned, called With All My Heart. You may have noticed in our previous series on the Sermon on the Mount that we skipped over two sections, two units that are pretty important as we were doing that survey series on the Sermon on the Mount. We skipped over the part where Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, and that's in Matthew 6, 7 through 13. We'll come back to that in 2016 during Lent, February and March. I'm going to do a series, 5-week series, with us together called Prayer Concerns. And so we're going to come back to that. The other section that we skipped over intentionally so that we could focus on it during this month of October is chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, where Jesus speaks specifically about a disciple's relationship to possessions, to materials, to money. Doug Rawls, who has done such an able job of chairing us as our lay leader for stewardship, reminded us last week of something very unusual, that 15% of everything Jesus taught had to do with money and possessions. And it wasn't because Jesus was a television evangelist. It wasn't because Jesus was a money grubber. It was because Jesus knew that our attitude towards possessions, our behavior in relationship to materials, can either make us or break us in terms of our discipleship. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to focus very specifically on these 16 verses. I think the key to the whole section is verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, most of the time when we think of that verse, we think of the reverse of that. We think that where our heart is, that our treasure will follow. And sometimes that's the case. But it's nearly always the case that where your treasure is, where your financial support, that's where your heart follows. And that's what Jesus is teaching. I believe that there are two documents that reveal the truth of what we believe. There are two documents that are common to all of us that give evidence to the reality of what we treasure. One is the calendar, and one is the checkbook. How we spend our time and how we spend our money. I believe that these two precious commodities preoccupy our minds and thoughts. And oftentimes, these two commodities become the source of our greatest complaints. For example, I seldom ever hear someone complaining of having too much time. Do you? I remember when our children were preschoolers that sometimes they would come and complain and say, "Dad, I'm bored." And I would say, "Enjoy it while it lasts." You seldom ever hear somebody complain about having too much time. Nor do you hear people complain about having too much money. Now, if you're feeling this morning that you've got too much money, see me after the benediction and I'll help you with that. You seldom hear people gripe about that. It's usually the other way around. If I just had a little more time, we say. I've said it before. Oh, if I'd had a little more time, I think that sermon would have been worth preaching. If I'd had a little more time, I think I could have gotten the report in by the deadline. If I'd had a little bit more time, I think I could have made a score on the SAT that would have gotten me that scholarship. But the truth of the matter is, we all have the same time, 24/7. I don't know anybody that has 25/8. But it's how we prioritize our time that says a lot, volumes really, about what we think is important. I think it's the same with the checkbook. The way we allocate our finances is to a large degree a measure, a metric of what we value. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When we were in Atlanta, we knew a Baptist pastor at Wyuka Road named Bill Self, who's retired now in his 80s. Dr. Self used to tell the story of visiting his uncle, his mother's brother, down in Florida as a boy. When he was a teenager, he would go visit, and his uncle would take him and show him the town. And one day they were circling the square in his uncle's town, and they were going to look around at a museum, and they were looking for a parking place. And Bill was curious. He couldn't help but notice that his Uncle Bob kept passing by certain parking places. The meters were there. And so he asked him, "Uncle Bob, why are you passing all these open spaces?" And Bob said, "Because, Bill, I'm looking for a meter that still has time on it." He said, "It was kind of awkward, but I began realizing at that point in my life that my Uncle Bob was one of those guys who was always looking to park on someone else's dime." Have you ever known anybody like that? Now, don't look at your neighbor, please. That after all the blessings and provisions of God, that we're still looking to park on somebody else's dime. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In this text, Jesus contrasts two kinds of treasures. Treasures on earth, treasures in heaven. "Don't store up for yourselves," says Jesus, "treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal." And what does he mean? I want to say, first of all, what I think Jesus does not mean. I don't think Jesus, in this section, is banning all possessions. I don't think that Jesus is commanding a vow of poverty, that he's forbidding property and ownership. Nor do I think that Jesus is saying that we shouldn't be prudent, that we shouldn't be wise, that we shouldn't set aside something for a rainy day. Our spiritual founder, John Wesley, counseled the early Methodists to earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And so I don't think that Jesus is saying be impractical, be imprudent. Proverbs 6:6, the wisdom writer says in regard to stewardship, you ought to take a lesson from the ant. Consider its ways, how he stores food in summer and gathers sustenance for the harvest. So he's not saying be a slacker. Paul says the same kind of thing in 1 Timothy 5:8. Whoever does not provide for relatives and especially family members has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now the key phrase in this text is "for yourselves." That's it. Don't store up treasure for yourselves, says Jesus. There's a show on television. This is a big issue today, hoarding. Have you seen this? Makes me weak to look at it. Hoarding is an addiction in our culture. It's become an issue in the 21st century. It's about accumulation. And the capacity that we and all of our affluence have to attach emotion to stuff. There is an addiction in our culture to things accumulating. In fact, social scientists have diagnosed a syndrome. It is called affluenza. That things that we treasure actually begin to govern the way you think and the way that I live. I was discussing with a group on Wednesday this week the fact that we live in a time and a culture where we are insurance poor. All of us are. We not only accumulate, but we insure what we accumulate so that we won't lose it. I mean, well, car insurance, homeowner's insurance, liability insurance, disability insurance, property insurance, health insurance, life insurance, very important, travel insurance. In fact, I think that many of us live by the hymn, Blessed Insurance. There ought to be a hymn that says, Blessed Insurance, State Farm is mine. Oh, what a benefit of glory divine. But you can't insure everything. The truth of the matter is that we're all terminal. Not one of us is going to get out of this thing alive. And so it's not just insurance we need. It's assurance that we need. Don't just accumulate for yourself, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where robbers do not break in and steal. What does that look like? I don't think Jesus is talking about securities, temporal securities. I think Jesus is talking about eternal investments. I think Jesus is talking about investing in kingdom, in mission, in ministry. I think Jesus is talking about investing in people. People are God's treasure. God have mercy. We live in such a culture that is so disposable that people have become like disposable razors, where life is cheap and expendable. We saw it again this week in Oregon, where 10 college students were killed, 7 who are still in the hospital, were picked off one by one after being questioned about their faith. I read this week that shooting was the 295th mass shooting this year in our nation. 295. It was the 45th school shooting in the country. And when I read that, I said, Lord, have mercy. We live in a culture where it seems as though life doesn't matter. But for the church, life matters. Black lives matter. White lives matter. Police officers' lives matter. Straight lives matter. Gay lives matter. Syrian lives matter. Russian lives matter. Israeli lives matter. Iranian lives matter. Addicted lives matter. Saints' lives and sinners' lives matter. From the womb to the tomb, life matters. And the way that we live and give has eternal ramifications. Last weekend, we heard the prayers and saw the faces on video of our students in South Africa. 350 precious souls that you are investing in between 3rd and 8th grade. And it is changing, literally changing the trajectory of generations. Now that's the kind of investment that will not depreciate with time. It will only appreciate. It's the same thing for those children at Humphrey Street in Harvest Hands. It's the same thing for our folks at Trinity Church in Spring Hill. It's the same thing for Travis and Amanda and the boys as they begin their work at Lenox Village. It's the same thing for these missionaries that we're going to commission at the benediction to Haiti and Mexico. Friends, don't park on somebody else's dime. Where's your treasure? In a culture of death, the church is to invest in life. I'm talking about abundant life, eternal life that begins now. And according to Jesus, the yield on that investment is exponential. It doesn't depreciate. One of the most meaningful scenes, and with this I close, one of the most meaningful moments in the Pope's visit to our country was when he flew into Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. He was greeted on the tarmac by a crowd and a high school band. The Pope Mobile picked him up, whisked him away, and as they were driving away, suddenly the Fiat did a 180, stopped. Pope Francis apparently had spotted in that throng a little boy in a wheelchair, 10 years old, Michael Keating, has cerebral palsy. He picked him out. He stopped the motorcade. He got out of his car. He went over to that boy and he leaned over and he kissed him and he blessed him. The family was speechless except for the boy's mother, who managed a tearful thank you. Cynics said it was a photo op. I say it was an investment. The pontiff saw in that boy's face a treasure, and he stopped the procession. He said it was a greater blessing to him, the Holy Father, than it was to the boy. Blessed is the one who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Where your treasure is, your heart will follow. Paul said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Friends, I've got an invitation. I've got an offer for you today that you can't refuse. This morning, you are invited to a table where God has picked you out. And here, through bread and wine, God desires to invest his mercy in you with all his heart, that we may share his unsearchable riches with others. Why? Because you matter to God. Amen.